This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bron, you know the story about this song? I was practicing with my band upstairs at Killer Vintage, where all the best guitar players go to buy guitars. And, I had a really good band, you know, Jimmy and all those guys, and we were playing this. We'd never played it before, and I thought I was really killing it. And we came downstairs, and Dave Henson, who owns the place, goes, "Hey, never play that song again."
Really?
Okay. Thanks.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Started crying.
He said it was because it was bad or just loud.
He said Nirvana was bad.
No,
because we just shouldn't have been playing that song.
Was it more about not liking Nirvana versus not liking how you
guys
did
it? It was not liking the way I sang Nirvana.
Yeah. Because those are different things.
Yeah. The big one, I've told this so many times, but singing Three Lock Box by Montrose, Sammy Hagar, Three Lock Box, and I have a high voice, and I could sing it, and I thought I just killed it, so I was fishing for compliments. You should never fish for a compliment, because you're going to catch a turtle, and I was talking to Dave Cowles afterwards, who ran my band. I'm like, "Yeah, Three Lock Box, I'm just not sure if it fits my voice." He goes, "Yeah, your voice is a little thin for it."
Yeah.
Damn it.
Damn not holding it. Back.
Well, when you go fishing for gold and you...
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You know?
That's a fair point.
You get poo.
You get poop.
Yeah. Thinking about that song, it always fascinates me when a band who found a lot of success resents music that they made. Like, from what I understand, Kurt Cobain and the band, that song blew up, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. And they started to hate it. Because that's all people wanted to hear when they would go to shows and they'd play shows. So he would kind of whine it a little bit.
Yeah.
And Radiohead did the same thing with Creep, which was the song that put them on the map, right? Like, why would you do that?
I agree with you.
These are the songs that made, and if people want to hear it, play it well, because then that's their gateway into hearing your other stuff.
And I just feel like it comes across just, I don't know, entitled or out of touch, because in some ways, when the bands will say, "Oh, you know, I don't even like that song,"
you're showing contempt.
You're showing contempt for people who really like it. First of all, it's,
like, you dummies.
Yeah, like if you said, if Dave, even if I didn't paint a picture, but Dave was like, "I really like this picture," and I'm like, "I hate that picture. It's stupid." You would feel kind of hurt.
Kind of dumb.
Yeah. Can you imagine doing that to your own fans who made you millionaires?
Yeah.
It really rubs me the wrong way.
It's the kind of thing that also happens with actors or people who were involved in something and they had a small part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm for whatever reason, I'm thinking of the guy who played the soup Nazi on Seinfeld. And in the years after he played that part, and he was only on two episodes, he resented it because he was like, "I'm an actor. Yeah. I do other things." And then much later in life, he realized that that is a thing that people love, and they love him for it, and he does appearances as that guy. He embraced it. So I don't understand why you wouldn't embrace a thing that you did, no matter how brief, that people loved.
It's like when I had Dustin Diamond on.
Yeah.
And didn't want to talk
and he
about?
Didn't want to talk about
He didn't want to talk about the porn tapes?
Well, he probably would have.
That's probably all he wanted to talk about.
But yeah. I think it's misunderstanding what people really like. They really like the product. They're not so in love with you that they've written you a blank check so that they'll follow you no matter what you create or do. Part of it has to be, or part of it is, we're in love with the creation. You may create something else that's really dumb. We want you to do the thing we like. Yeah. And I think maybe the artists, the actors, they think, well, they're in love with me, not the character.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a perfectly normal phenomenon to get bored with something, right? To be like, God, I've played that song 8 million times, and I don't even... Because a lot of times, these guys, you'll hear bands and artists, they'll say... Yeah, my favorite song was the 8th track and nobody cares. I mean,
it's
I really like that one.
It's a cross you bear as a multi-millionaire.
No. And this is what I wanted to say was, it's fine to experience that,
yeah.
But shut up about it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop talking about, like, I'm paying you $150 to see your show.
Right.
And part of that is because I love the songs that I know. Now, if it's a band you really like, you probably like most of the songs. But like that, it's a thing where it's fine to feel that way. It's normal. It's okay.
Well, it's like the first bit that I had that blew up back in 2001 was Gay Lincoln. And if I had made $30, $40 million off Gay Lincoln and I was still touring and that was my one hit wonder, they're like, here's Guy Phillips with his famous this and here's J.C. Corcoran. And now Dave Glover with Gay Lincoln, I would run out on the stage. I would be like, hey, everybody, here comes Gay Lincoln. I mean, there's no doubt. Like, I agree with Amy. Like, if my life is secure because of something I did that I don't really care for, but you do, hey, let's do it all night.
Yeah, to me, that would be easy. But I guess you have a different mindset if you're an artist, right?
Something happens to you when you become rich.
Yeah.
I say, is it the rich or is it more the when you've been a pop star, rock star, everybody just kisses your ass and nobody tells you no and nobody says, dude, what
people,
are you doing?
I don't know if you've noticed, but people want to be something that they're not. And so you can be Nirvana, which is a pretty damn good thing to be. But if you wanted to be Bob Dylan and you want people to recognize you for your Bob Dylan-ness, that's just the way it is. That's who you are.
Yeah. I mean, the Nirvana thing, what they hated about the way that song blew up is that nobody understood it. Like, they didn't understand that they were the butts of the joke.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, they were mad that people that they were actually not fans of were glomming onto the song and playing it and making it like an anthem. And I get, again, fine, totally fine.
Yeah.
But if you don't want those kind of things, then don't go to a record company and make a record. Just play your shows and play for yourself. Because you don't control it once it's out there. People
also,
either like it or they don't.
You know what? And I say all this, but the other side of it is if you have that mentality, it also probably helps you create better art. Because when you're angsty about something,
it's gonna be a
when something's. I mean, if everything is great in your life, I don't know how you write good music.
Well, like the guy who created the banana taped to the wall as the $1 million piece of art. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sure the people who are buying that aren't buying that for the same reason he created it. I'm sure he created it as a statement of some sort of like, even this can be art. How dumb is this? We've gone off the goofy crap-o-meter. And the people are just like, look, it's a banana. I'm going to pay $1 million for it because I have $1 million. I mean, you put art out there into the world and people consume it the way they consume it.
Yeah.
And they have opinions the way they're going to have opinions.
Yep.
Speaking of putting art out into the world, I need to ask a favor of the audience, which I don't do that much. But our Twitter DGS is abysmal. There's like 1,000 people, and for a show this big, it should be way more than that. But to get people to go to your Twitter, you have to post things, and we haven't posted since March. So Steve has asked me to change that. So we're going to start posting daily, and I have to figure out what people want and then deliver that. But first, we'll just be telling you here's what's on the show. We'll be doing some videos. Wheels and I will do some stuff. So if you could go out there and follow us at DGS on KMOX, we would really appreciate it. Make us look good for the boss, and we'll start putting out daily content. And then if you want something different, you tell us what you want, because I don't understand the animal.
The animal is we need to make people very angry and enrage them.
We're not going to do that.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. I even talked to Steve about that. He's like, I know you're not a bomb thrower. I know that you don't want a bunch of engagement and arguments with people. And
If we reach 2,000 followers, Kevin will come to your house and argue with you.
Yeah.
He'll do that if we don't reach any.
I'll do that for nothing. And he will not lose a bit of energy doing it.
No. It was really funny because Steve talked to me about this last week. And he talked to me about it again today, and I'm like, "How did we do over the weekend?" He goes, "You lost two followers."
Everyone's losing followers. Like,
no, because that's true.
People
leaving.
Are leaving. Yeah, it's an awkward time to really go.
And we
all
talked
in
about
on...
going Blue Sky, but I don't know
how long we before there's it. An app that will post to both of them for you at the same time.
It's a good idea.
I don't know. I'm going to find out because. I think it'd be if you're going to do it, you don't want to lose all of one. This is where I'm like, I hate a lot of what Twitter's become with mostly the ads and people forcing things like, you know, the blue check marks being able to pay so that everybody gets to see their tweets. I don't care. I don't follow you. I don't want your tweet. I hate all of that. I want that to go away, but it's still got all of the good people on it.
Yeah.
And I still get a lot of great information there, but I did open a Blue Sky one to have as an alternative, but I don't want to post twice. I don't want to go like, oh, I got to go do this and do this and do this. Mm-hmm. Got to have that app that does both at
Blue
once.
Blue Sky should be two words because I read it for a long time until, I don't know, yesterday as Blue Ski. Yeah.
Because, we could just call it the Blue Ski.
Because there was this company, and I always called it Big Wadeski because it looked like Big Wadeski. And they're like, what did you say? I said Big Wadeski, but it's Big Wide Sky. That's the company, but I always thought it was.
It's
Big
a
Wadeski.
Very narrow form of dyslexia.
I know. I can't tell.
Just run words together.
I can't tell where they end. But I didn't. I thought it was Blue Ski.
Well, you know who thinks you're smart. I told you today, and I told Rach because I had my ophthalmology associate's appointment today with Dr. Birdie, and all he talked about were you and Rach.
Oh,
and how great you guys are, and how smart you guys are. Nothing for you, Ranj.
That's all right.
Nothing for me.
Well, it's because I didn't go to Greg Birdie. I went to Ranjan Malhotra.
Yeah. Oh.
He's probably mad.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be mad.
Could be.
Because I always say Team Birdie, and he goes, Team Malhotra. So I think we started a little something.
You know what I'm really good at? Having my eyes checked. I'm so.
Are you really?
Better, worse, one, two, or three. I love it.
What about the puff of air? I'm not good at that.
You mean foggy?
She said I'm very blinky.
Yep, me too.
Yeah. I'm like, well, because you're putting something in my eyeball.
Yes. The first time I had my eyes, you know, they do the
dilated.
No, they do the examination to see if you can, if LASIK is good for you, if it would work. The very first time I did it years ago, they numb your eyeball, then they put this thing on it, and I think they still do, but they have to actually physically touch your eyeball, and I can't. I
couldn't
can't
do it.
I can't do contacts. I just don't like touching my eye, right? And when the exam was over, she said, well, LASIK would work for you. You're a candidate. But if you did, you'd have to take Valium or something because you have to relax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I guess I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's glasses forever.
Yeah. I'm not sure what she was trying to get out of me. I think it was a tear, which I don't know how she couldn't get them because I was just crying like crazy. But she was like, you're really blinky. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Did they do the thing where they flip your eyelid inside out?
No.
That's
what's
really
that?
Weird. They
no.
go, okay, it's going to feel weird. So they push down and then they flip it inside out so it stays inside out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, that was like, whoa.
Why
would wild.
They do that?
I don't know. They're
you know, I did
Are you sure that was a doctor?
They're experts in the diagnosis and treatment of diseases of the eye.
That was at Trader Joe's. I did have a rude awakening, though. Two of them. One of the ladies who was examining me, who was my age-ish, and she said, how old are you? And I said, I just turned 60. And she goes, 60? Wow! And I took it as, you don't look a day over 40.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure she meant it that way. And then when I was going through my thing with Dr. Birdie, he was reading off a bunch of, like, CP4s and things like that. He goes, that's just cataracts. And I'm like, hold on a second. I don't have cataracts. He's like, well, getting cataracts is like getting wrinkles. There are very, very few people that don't develop wrinkles and don't develop cataracts. Usually starts around 50. You beat the odds. You didn't start till 60. It's just a trace. You probably won't need anything until you're 75. But just hearing it was weird.
Yeah.
And it's a reminder that you can like think something on your skin is fine, but until you're under the bright lights of a dermatologist, you don't know. You can think you're killing it for 60 until someone's looking in your dilated eyes and they're like, oh, there they are. It's just weird. The difference between your opinion of yourself, the way you suck in your gut when you walk by a mirror, you know, and then like a doctor.
Somebody needs to create a list where we can look for all these things that we that are going to happen to us. So we can know in advance instead of just finding out on
that.
The fly.
Oh my
like,
gosh,
hey, round about 60, these things
you,
are going to happen.
You want to know the day you're going to die, too?
No.
By the end of the year, I should have that list ready for you. Welcome back, guys. DGS. Speaking of online content, if you go to our Facebook page right now, you can see the secret Grandma Glover chocolate chip cookie recipe. I was going through some of her stuff, and I found it. It's got to be 70 years old.
Nice.
Printed on like one of those old recipe cards. Yeah. And it just looks great. Like it looks like I faked it or something because it looks so good and old. And so we put it up there for all to enjoy for Thanksgiving.
You going to make those too or not?
Phoebe's making them Wednesday night.
Oh, that's I'm going to make them too. Cool. I'm going to make them too. I'm excited because there's no milk in it. So my wife can.
Oh, right on.
Have no milk or butter or anything in the recipe. So I'm going to make them too.
Look at Grandma. Nice.
Yeah, looks like fun.
She's ahead of her time.
Mm-hmm. That's the that's some of my favorite stuff about things getting passed down.
Yes.
Because my mom still has all of those old recipe cards from her mom, who got them from her mom, and
that's
all
cool.
These different cool, like, dessert, mostly baking. They were mostly baking, not so much, like, you know, roast beefs or whatever, but, like, the best cakes you've ever had, the best Christmas cookies, all that stuff.
I should do a little Grandma Glover cookbook and sell it for Operation Food Search because we have like pumpkin bread and this and, you know, every kind of pie. And they're all really legit, really old. Like you have to go out and buy lard, that kind of thing.
Anybody got lard laying around?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm sure Crisco would do.
Yeah, it will.
Oh, I love Crisco.
Wait, okay. Is Crisco just straight lard? What is it?
Scholars maintain. I have no idea what it is. Some kind
That's
of
what I thought it was.
Awesome fat.
Yeah, it's something like that.
I'm sure it's like the 1960s version of lard.
I don't know if it's the exact definition of like made up of the same thing, but it does the same job that lard does.
Because we were butter bakers growing up.
Yeah.
We always used butter. We didn't have Crisco, but my grandma cooked with Crisco.
Yeah.
You know, when they always told you to save the bacon grease.
What do you
do with it?
You fry hamburgers in it.
Make popcorn.
Really?
My mom and dad used to make
popcorn?
Yeah, over the stove.
Eggs. Eggs were big.
Yeah. Eggs and bacon grease is
real
good.
Cherry pie that Chef Liz made for you, that was made with bacon grease.
Get out.
The crust
I didn't
was.
Know that.
Yeah,
if she's listening, maybe she'd make another.
Yeah, so good. That was. I'm not even kidding. I told her this in person. That was the best cherry pie I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. I'm really sad.
I haven't had Mama Glover's yet, so.
I haven't been able to find the recipe.
Oh, no.
I know. So I have her recipe. It's a little green metal box, just the size of index cards. And yesterday, twice, I took everything out and looked at it and put everything back in, and I can't find the damn cherry pie recipe. Mm. So. 133 DGS and KMOX. Happy Winnie the Pooh Blustery Day Monday. I think the wind's picking up out there. You know, that's my fear now. I always have to have one. And my fear is now the big trees in my neighborhood blowing down onto my house. And I asked Dave Murray, like, hey, what mile per hour does it need to be? Thinking he'd go like 80, and he goes, about 40. And
that was messed up.
And yeah, it was. It really was. And then this morning, they're like, could be 30, 35, could be 40. I'm like, well, there you go. The house is gone.
Yeah, but I think it means, like, it have to be sustained at that, not just, like, gusting to that. Right?
Yeah, me. All I know is I'm afraid of it.
Okay.
But it replaced my driving fear, so that's good.
Yeah.
I can get around town now. You know what would be an awesome tribute to my mom? Not that you owe my mom a tribute, but if anyone makes her cookies, take a picture and post it. That would be really cool.
Be very nice.
Wouldn't that be nice? That'd make her happy. Need a ruling on this one. It's dividing the internet, and it's pretty interesting. So Gen Z is a generation that just keeps giving a young junior executive from the Gen Z generation stayed late until about midnight to get a project done and then didn't come in the next day until noon. And when he or she got dressed down for it, they said it's even. Like, I owe you whatever I owe you for the week, and I stayed until midnight to get this project done. So if I came in at 8 or 9 the next morning, you guys are winning, and that's not the way it goes. And people are saying, good for you. You don't owe the man any more than you owe the man. Other people are saying, like, that's not the way you get ahead in this life. You stay until midnight every night, and you come in at 7 in the morning. What do you guys think? Is there a sea change happening in the workership?
I think it's a bad idea to start an adversarial relationship between yourself and your employer. Does that make sense?
Like, sure.
You don't want to get taken advantage of. Nobody wants to get taken advantage of, yada, yada.
But maybe not make it so such a rule.
Yeah, you also don't want to like start that so aggressively because
you might need to leave early someday.
Yeah, and in the world of employee versus employer,
guess who wins?
The employer will typically win those battles. Now you may have to go find another employer, and so be it. But I see a lot of stories of Gen Z kind of doing things like that. Like, they kind of come in and they're like, well, I'm the boss now. And it's like, well, no, you're not. Okay. And that's just a lesson you have to learn with age, I think.
Well, but devil's advocate here. Do you think that companies nowadays actually reward you for staying late? Like, do you think they're keeping track of the extra work you're doing and actually giving you prizes and raises?
No.
Yeah, no. So there you go. Not. So it's like, if you do have that attitude of like, I'm not doing anything extra, I think that's totally valid because it's doing something extra typically doesn't get you anywhere.
I can see a smaller company, maybe smaller to mid-size, recognizing how often you come in and, hey, you've been, you know, really both ends. Burning it, maybe tomorrow take the day off, or you know, why don't you go home a little bit early the next day? That's fine, and you know, in that case, I think that's great. But I don't think most employers, especially a larger company, recognize that.
I guess I don't necessarily mean like you should always go above and beyond, and you should always lay down for your employer no matter what. I guess I mean more like maybe don't take it such an adversarial tone about it.
To your point, Andrew, I think. If it became a pattern, like let's say they, you know, for a couple of nights or whatever, they asked you, hey, can you stay a little bit later because this thing is really big and we got to be on top of it. But if it became a pattern where they were routinely telling you or causing you to stay many hours past when you're supposed to go home, then maybe you could push back a little bit and say, hey, my hours are this to this, not this to midnight.
Yeah, there's two parts to this to me. The employee is not wrong. You shouldn't be expected to just give them more of your time for nothing. Right? That like that's not wrong.
Yeah.
But here's where someone in that generation, any young person, you need to communicate with your superior. Say, hey, look, we gotta get this done. I'm gonna stay till midnight tonight, but I don't have anything that needs to be done tomorrow morning. So you guys good. I'm gonna come in at noon tomorrow. Like, have the conversation up front. Don't just decide it. Because I'll tell you what'll piss off a boss is you just deciding things.
Yeah.
Without a conversation, without saying, like, you know, I'm just going to do this and you have to accept it. If I'm the boss, I'm going, no. I'm the boss. If you come to me with this and say it, I'm probably going to be like, cool, you've earned that. Thank you for staying late. But the minute that you start to say, I'm deciding what the company should allow me to do, you're going to get pushback. I just think there's all it takes is a conversation. All it takes is communication. Call your boss and say, I'm going to be staying till midnight. We got to get this done. We're on a roll.
It's not only true. It's so true about everything.
Yes.
And I'm not good at it. I'm not great at, I have to have a difficult conversation with Amy. I'll put it off or I'll let it out in other ways. And I can guarantee you, if I had to have a difficult conversation with Amy, it would go fine. Right? Mm-hmm. And vice versa. They always go fine. But there's something so intimidating about that.
Yeah. Andrew's right about the tone as well. Like, don't come in like thumping your chest to your boss and say, because they are your boss. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, take a knee and bow and be like, oh, my boss, I appreciate you so much. But it be human. Like, treat it like just be normal. Go up to your boss and say, again, this is going to take a lot. And I'm going to get a little extra rest in the morning. I don't have anything pressing. I'm good to go, and I can finish anything tomorrow that I need to in the afternoon. You're all right if I take that. If you put it that way, you're much more likely to get it. And then if you get a no, then you can start to assert yourself.
When I went to my first job as an attorney, which was at a really nice law firm, and they said we had 50 attorneys and we had like 10 of them starting. So we had like a little orientation and we were all sitting in there and they said, okay, here are the hours. And okay, that seems reasonable. And then the HR person left and a senior associate said, that's bull crap.
Yeah.
If you're here at 8, you're late. If you leave by 7, you're leaving early.
Mm-hmm.
Saturdays are 10 to 4. And Sundays, we want to see an appearance. And I started laughing. And the guy goes, I'm being completely serious. And he was. And it was, for the first time ever, it was explained to me that if you're hourly, you work exactly the hours we pay you for. And if you're salary, you work exactly the hours we tell you to.
Yeah. And it's, to me, a perfectly valid thing to do if it's presented that way. Because now you have the choice.
Yeah, don't have to work here.
Yeah, right. Yep. You can say, all right, that's too much. Sorry, see you later. Or you can be like, yep, you know what? I'm good with that. I mean, that's what you just described in a nutshell.
I said I was good with it, and I wasn't.
No, I know, but I mean, you had the choice.
And I underperformed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like,
that was laughing.
That was what college sports was.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, it's 20 hours a week, but really, you know, it's 40. And, you know, you're just, these are the expectations. These are the voluntary workouts, and these are the, it's nothing is that simple, but as long as you know and you're making the conscious decision, yes or no, no problem.
Speaking of both ends. Food poisoning?
Oh, dude. Ron.
I didn't mean it like that.
No, it was bad. So, like, I was so upset. Like, Friday night late, I started to have some issues, as Ron would call the excuse. And then Saturday all day. And I had to miss the Sklar show Saturday night. And I was really looking forward to going out and seeing the show, but then hanging with them afterwards and all that. And I had to text them from the crapper, basically, like I can't leave my house. You know,
well, you didn't have to text him from the crapper. But
I mean, if I didn't put it this way, the way Saturday was, if I didn't, I would have never.
You're the fourth person that got food poisoning that I know this weekend.
This week?
This weekend?
Oh,
did you have the carrots?
I did not have the carrots. We looked all that stuff up.
Can you believe the carrots?
Yeah,
but no, like
the organic carrots were a problem somewhere. Yeah,
two people close to me had food poisoning or suspected to. Food poisoning, like, is it food poisoning?
Pajeski's got the scoots, is what she means.
No, that's not Pajeski.
Oh, no?
Two people, like, in my family
circle.
But
now circle, we
know that. Yeah, two people
everybody
in my
knows.
Family circle got food poisoning, and then that's why Matt's not here. Matt's sick. And you got it? Like, but that's really
You know Matt's
weird.
Eating baby carrots.
Yeah.
I can see him only
like
eating baby carrots.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Completely.
I said, I was like, Matt definitely ate the carrots, and he said he didn't. But I just think this is really weird. Is it a stomach bug? What in the world is going on? I've never known four people close to me all getting,
I have
food poisoning in the same weekend.
Only once, because everybody ate in the same cafeteria,
right.
And it
this
was a norovirus, and everybody got sick.
Really?
I've seen that, where you all eat at the same place.
And here's what's wild about it. It happened in this cafeteria, and it was something like 50 or 60 people, and it all happened within hours.
Oh,
so they eat lunch at noon. By 3, 4 o'clock, people are going home. And some people went to the hospital. It was it was crazy. It all happened at once.
Like a college cafeteria, or like
it was the White Sox cafeteria.
Oh.
Yeah, somebody. This was several years ago, but everybody got
this
sick.
This is insane. I cannot believe you were sick. Like, this is blowing my mind right now. I probably shouldn't, but it's just food poisoning is pretty unusual, pretty awful.
One of those things that we are misdiagnosing as food poisoning, and maybe it was a little
it's
bug.
Pretty quick to get over, though.
I mean, it was. It was almost 2 days.
Yeah.
Like, well, not fully 2 days, but almost.
This is insane.
I can always, not always, I've had it twice, but both times that I had food poisoning, I had terrible body aches. Like, my legs really hurt.
This was really mild. I mean, like, I felt fine. A little bit tired, like, a little bit, but nothing crazy. But
Scoots will do that.
Just, you know, you're constantly like, well, time again.
Okay,
you know what's the worst? Sorry, when you're getting... it's coming out the other end, and then you get the scoots while it's coming out the other end. That's the worst.
Dude, you've had the double banger. It's the worst.
Oh my god.
Well, but then
that happened to me.
I remember
Florida.
I'll never forget it. It was the sickest I've ever been.
Yep, same.
Yep. Yep.
So many fun terms.
We're learning a lot.
Yeah.
The double banger.
It's like hanging out with Jin Alpha.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh, dude, it was on vacation in Florida.
No.
It was. I mean, And flying the next day.
Oh, no.
And I had to fly, hoping and praying that everything would go okay, and it went okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Survived.
This is my worst nightmare.
Oh, dude.
I'm having
heart
palpitations right now.
You're talking about the thing you're afraid of. So I have become afraid going back 2 days. Mm-hmm. I am now afraid of on a flight.
Mm-hmm.
Are you afraid of planes being on them?
Yes.
Okay, here's a new flying fear. It's called disfigured penis. And it happened... because a person spilled hot tea on themselves, and they're suing the airline because the passenger says he has disfigured penis now.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack, no pun.
Yeah, it was on Frontier Airlines.
Well, that explains it.
Yeah.
I think you assume you walk out with a disfigured penis on Frontier.
I thought it was Spirit that was the...
Well, now that they're in bankruptcy.
Well, hold on, though. But you spilled it on yourself.
Right.
Well, let's
and you
see.
Knew the tea would be hot.
They think it was too hot, like McDonald's, like the McDonald's
did
lady.
How did they prove it?
Yeah. I wonder how it's disfigured. Like if it looks like Kojak or like...
Third degree burns.
Gorbachev.
Third degree burns.
Oh, they all kind of.
Because he spilt the hot tea on himself.
I mean, I do feel bad for the guy.
Yeah. It was on a flight home to Philadelphia from Myrtle Beach. And the scalding hot drink had been given to him, filled to the brim.
Mm.
Now, did you guys see the hot coffee documentary about the woman, the McDonald's woman? You guys know the whole story.
I know the story. Yeah.
Okay. But if you, it was a punchline. And we all made a joke about it. This lady spilled hot coffee and she sued McDonald's. But if you break down the lawsuit, they were actually boiling the coffee or heating it way past what it was supposed to. And they show the pictures of her scarred. It was bad.
It wasn't like,
oh, that kind of hurt a little bit.
I got a call that morning at my law office. I was the first one there and I answered the phone of a case like that. And I basically laughed at the person. And it was that day or the next day that case came out.
Oh,
isn't that weird?
Man.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that person had seen it and was going
to
try
that
and fake it.
Or it had happened to them.
Yeah. But I remember being very, not rude, but I was just like, sir, this is a legitimate law firm. We don't chase ambulances.
So what McDonald's was doing is, at that time, they had lousy coffee, right? Because whoever got coffee there. But they found that the hotter they made it, it was harder to tell how low quality it was.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
If you burn all the taste buds off the tongue.
Yeah, bad. Yeah, if you shock them.
If you shock them. Yeah.
Come as you are. 153 DGS. Andrew, you need to know this one. So we were just talking about how redheads need more anesthesia, and Wheeler is invincible to pain because he's a ginger.
Yeah.
And I said that when I had my colonoscopy, they asked me if I was a ginger because I don't have hair in my head and they might need to give me more anesthesia. And Amy looked really, really puzzled and she said, oh, I thought you meant because of your butthole.
Yeah, they just wanted to know, what it was like.
For all I know, it's covered in red hair. I only heard half
of the conversation.
Yeah,
you were texting and you're like, you came up for air.
You were like, hey, you tell me.
Jeez. Speaking of Hardee's, you had a good experience?
I had a great experience this weekend. I went up to Grafton to visit my mom and my little nieces, and I said, I'll stop on the way and I'll get Hardee's because it's the Operation Food Search drive, and went through the drive-thru at the Hardee's on Route 3,
Ponton Beach area,
and they were just so nice, so friendly. It was quick service. I was just very impressed by the whole situation, and then they gave me the option to donate $1, $3, or $5, which is great. And then took it home and had it, and it was very delicious.
That's good.
The little breakfast wraps for my little nieces, and they enjoyed them very much. So keep that in mind when you're going to Hardee's this holiday season.
It always makes me think of my mom, because I would stop at the Route 3 Hardee's, and I would take her lunch, and she loved the burgers. And one time I got chicken soft tacos. And I look over, and she's eating them, and she's already downed one. She could eat. She weighed, like, I swear to God, she weighed 70 pounds by the end of her life. She could put it away. And she had already eaten one taco, and she's halfway through the other, and she goes, I don't care for these. I wouldn't bring them again. And I go, well, they're for me. And she ate her burger.
Hardee's has one of the best deals out there right now.
What's that?
In the fast food world, it's
$7.
The original bag, it's $6 actually.
Oh,
wow. I think so. It's either $6 or $7. $6.99 maybe. It's anyway.
Who's counting?
Anyway, who's counting? I think it's $5.99.
Between $6 and $7.
It's cheap.
Jeez.
It's a good deal.
I lived a lifetime during this thing.
You can get two burgers. You can get a burger and a double burger and a hot ham. You can get a double burger and a chicken wrap, any of those many things.
I'm uncomfortable with your Hillary Clinton accent you're pulling out here.
Hot sauce! and fries and a soda.
That is a good deal.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
For $5 or $6.99.
For an undetermined amount of
between $5.99 and $6.99.
One of those two.
But not seven.
Damn, not sure we did Hardee's a solid there.
Actually, no, it might be $12. I don't really know.
No, it's one of those two. It's one of those two. It's a great deal, though.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.